Well, good evening. Thank you to Tim and to anybody else who said yes for me to be able to come out, our family to come out and share a little bit about our upcoming work. It's been a long transition. We told Coopertown probably a year ago, hey, this is our plans, this is what we hope to do. We hope that you can partner with us in this. Our life is in your hands. We trust you, but it's been really a beautiful thing. Adam and I have been transitioning together for the past year, so it's kind of hard to believe. You say we have one more week there. It's hard to get my mind around that, but that's how transitions are, and we're just thankful to be able to share a little bit about what God is doing in Alaska, and we just encourage you and hope that you will continue to pray for us for the important work up there. Let me just begin by introducing us a little bit. Tim already shared a little bit about who we are, and again, I know many of you already know us at Coopertown, but I grew up in Anchorage, Alaska. I was born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, so my first words were Roll Tide, to the chagrin of the church in Coopertown. But about 6-7 years old, that's where my dad's side of the family is from, 3-4 generations. And so grew up there. Alaska is home. Moved away when I was 18 years old to join the Adventures and Missions program called AIM, based out of Sunset School of Preaching in Lubbock. So I spent through that program 2 years doing mission work with missionaries in South Africa, both in Port Elizabeth and then in Johannesburg. After that, went to Fried Hardeman University, did my undergrad and graduate degree there, married up. I had two beautiful girls, and that's where Amber just recently graduated as well with her nursing degree. She got a French degree at Oregon State and then a nursing degree. And so, a lot of debt between the both of us, but it's been a real big blessing. And we're excited about this work going up. Just out of curiosity, show of hands, how many of us have been to Alaska? Cruises count. Handful, okay. So there's a lot of pictures, I'm sure, comes to your mind when you think about Alaska, a lot of stereotypes. So when I was a child and I'd come and visit down here, I was asked things like, do you sled dog to school? Do you ride polar bears? Do you live in an igloo? All sorts of, those are the pictures that come to your mind. But then there's a pretty decisive shift right around high school. Then the questions all became, do you know Sarah Palin? Do you know Sarah Palin? And now the questions are, have you seen this TV show? Have you seen that TV show? And I'm sure some of us perhaps like some of the Alaska TV shows. There's a thrill that comes with shows like Deadliest Catch. You see creation magnified in Alaska. If you've been up there, you've been on a cruise, pictures just don't do justice, do they? It's just like, there's something amazing about this place. God is revealed in creation, as Paul says in Romans 1. It's most evident in a place like Alaska. But one thing that's definitely true about Alaska is that it's just simply beautiful, absolutely stunning. You have these famous northern lights that I've been able to see a few times, and the way they dance up in the sky, it's just absolutely breathtaking. Alaska is, as you know, very large. Don't believe the maps that you see where they put Alaska down in the bottom left of the corner and it's all small. It's a very a large piece of land, about 1/5 of the United States, 2.5 times the size of Texas. So when I lived in Texas, I made sure all my friends knew that. Daily, that Alaska is very, very large. And so we're talking about a big area and therefore some challenges that the geography has for the church. Many churches are spread out and as a result are isolated. And there's a lot of intentionality on behalf of the church around the state in getting together and being united and being one body around the state. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. We like to call it a wild first world. On the one hand, it's a first world mission field because it's part of the United States and it has all the rights that an American state has. And my grandmother, my Nana, she tells me she remembers when Alaska became a state. She lived up there during the time. And she talks about the pride that came with that and the security that came with that, about being part of, being a state of the United States of America. On the other hand, it's wild. It is pretty far away. And so it doesn't take long to be in the middle of nowhere. And this picture on the bottom right, that's not uncommon to see a large moose just walking down the city. We call them city moose. They're used to people. You have wild moose and city moose. But it doesn't take long to Be out in creation, be hiking in the mountains, to be in the rivers, to be in literally the middle of nowhere. On the other hand, we have Walmart, we have Taco Bell, we have all the necessities like that. So you have this hybrid sort of mission field. It's a wild first world. In other words, it's a foreign and a domestic mission field. It is domestic because it's part of the United States, but it's foreign because it's about 4,000 miles away. Amber and I drove up to Alaska when we were first married in May of, we were married in December of 2015 and married, moved up for about a year in May of 2016 to be with my family for a little while. And that was quite a long drive. It took us about 2 weeks to drive it. It was beautiful, but it was a test for our marriage early on. You know, we being in the car together for two weeks, but it was, it's very, very far away. And so with that comes isolation. You're either there or you're not. It's not easy to hop on a plane to go visit the in-laws, to go visit family, to go visit kids and grandkids. So with that comes some challenges for Christians, for all people up there in the church. And we'll talk about the impact of that in just a moment. I have a couple important features about Alaska. I hope that you can read that. Just, I will insert here that we do have a website, www.equippingalaska.com. where a lot of this information you can find as well if you didn't catch something I said. I'll have that at the end as well. But again, Alaska is a relatively new state, 1959. Because of that, there's not really a solidified culture. Amber and I have talked many times how we feel still 4 years later like a foreigner in Coopertown, because there's some families there who've been there four generations, five generations, six generations, and maybe some people in here in Pleasant View, you go back a long, long ways. Well, not so with Alaska. It's relatively young, relatively new. In fact, it's pretty rare to have several generations represented in the state. That's a privilege I have over my father's side. My great-grandfather was one of the first two elders in the church around the whole state in the Anchorage Church of Christ. But for most people, they come up for an oil job. They come up for the thrill, for excitement, all sorts of different reasons. And because of that, leave their roots. They leave family and are really isolated and are stranded in some ways. And so, but there's not a solidified culture. Our rule is, if you make it through one winter, you're Alaskan, right? You don't need any official paperwork. That's unofficially, if you make it through wintertime, you're one of us. Incredibly diverse state, especially in Anchorage. I had a stat that I like to share. In the Anchorage School District, which is about half the population of the state, is in the Anchorage area. About 750,000 people around the whole state, half of which are in concentrated in Anchorage. And so you have 80% of the student population, this is K through 12, 80% of the students speak English as a primary language in the home. That's what they speak as the dominant language at home. Of that other 20%, you have 110 different language represented. A lot of them are Alaska Native languages, but you have a lot of different cultures that move up to Alaska for a variety of reasons. And because of that, we have to share life together. And you see that represented in the church. How do we live together? How do we get across the language barrier? How do we live as a diverse body? And so you see that in Alaska. High substance abuse rate, high suicide rate. Again, that's probably because of the darkness during the winter times. The farther north you go up, the more stretches of darkness you have in the wintertime above the Arctic Circle. You have 6 months straight of darkness. Now, I don't live up there, but I know a lot of people work up there and you have villages up there. And because of that, there's a lot of high alcohol consumption, high drug rate, and things like that, high suicide rate. And so the church has this beautiful opportunity to literally be a light of the world, a light in a dark place, to be a family, to be a body. All those pictures you see in the New Testament really apply in a place like this to be a community for those who are stranded and are isolated. With regards to participation in religion, more than half the population of Alaska consider themselves none. That's N-O-N-E, no religious affiliation. Now what's fascinating is you have a high percentage who claim to be Christian in some sort of spiritual sense, and I think that's because of creation. They know something's here, right? They know something is, there's something more than just this. They see the mountains, the rivers, the northern lights, and they say there has to be some sort of spiritual being. But as far as a religious affiliation with some sort of church, some Protestant church, Catholic church, any sort of, even outside of Christendom, there's very few. About 64-65% are consider themselves no affiliation. I got my own relationship with God, no relationship with the church. So the church has a really great opportunity to say, hey, there's something more here than just being out in the woods alone, right? We are made to be part of something bigger. We're connected as human beings. We're connected as church. So the church has a great opportunity. Let me share with you our ministry partners. Now we're not starting anything new. In fact, the way I've described this is I feel like I'm jumping onto a moving train in many ways. We're gonna be joining a ministry that's been in work about 7-8 years now. Mike Cactus and I joke about being about 75-80% the same person because we both grew up in Alaska, both went to AIM, in fact, both went to South Africa and worked with the same missionaries, him a few years before me. We lived in the same apartment in Port Elizabeth, and we both went to school, got Bible degrees, and went into ministry. So our lives overlap in many ways. But he's been part of the Valley Church of Christ in Wasilla, which will be home base for us. And we'll be working with him as teammates, trying to equip the churches around the state. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. But Mike and Annie, they both went through AIM, both went through Sunset, moved to Alaska as missionaries in 2014. And one of the things that they and we will do together is we have AIM teams up there, which is pretty cool to see. We went into this program, but now we are coordinators for AIMers as well. We've on our seventh AIM team, where we have young adults, 20, 22, 25 years old or so, early 20s, who are there for a couple of years, and we have them invest in the church around the state. We'll send them to this church for a couple of weeks, that church a couple of weeks, back home for a few weeks, things like that. And so that's a very, very awesome opportunity. But the Valley has this mission, this vision to be what they call the Antioch of Alaska. We understand that the churches are connected, but we are still autonomous. And I love the way you describe Coopertown and Pleasant View as partners, more than sister congregation partners. And I think that's how we should view all of the churches of Christ, that we're all partners. We're all, sometimes it's easy for us to get pretty closed in our own boxes, but we're part of something much bigger than just these four walls. And that is made more evident in a place like Alaska, where it has very few congregations. So in a place like Wasilla, in a place like Anchorage with a lot of resources, a lot of people, they have the opportunity to be a blessing to the smaller congregations around the state. They want to be a home base that sends out missionaries, that takes back missionaries, that's a healthy congregation for the church around the state. Congregational awareness and unity at the same time. Here's a picture of the churches around the state of Alaska. A lot of these lines you see, the red lines are the road system. So everywhere that doesn't have a red line, there's no road. And in fact, the one that goes all the way to the North Slope, it's barely drivable. And you can barely even count that as a road. You have to have the right equipment to get up there. You've seen ice road truckers. That's that type of road that they go down. But so the churches have been formed oftentimes around the road system. And so there's three types of congregations in Alaska. You have one that's in the Anchorage area. Does this have like a laser?
Yeah, bottom button.
What's that?
The bottom button.
Bottom button. It's
supposed to be.
There we go. So in the Anchorage area, this is where I was raised, and just north of it is Wasilla, where we will be based out of for our ministry. You have half the population of the state is here in this area. And most of the congregations down here are smaller, they're attached to the road system, but they have access to anchors, they have access to resources. So they're isolated, but they do have the ability to get to anchors where Costco is and where jobs are and things like that. On the other hand, you have several congregations that you can only fly to or take a ferry to. So if you've been on a cruise, maybe you've been to some of these places like Ketchikan, Sitka, Juneau, they're coming up here as well. Even our capital, this is our state capital right here. You can't drive there. I think that's on purpose, I'm not sure. But that's our state capital, and you can only get there by ferry or get there by plane. And so there's all sorts of obstacles for the churches to grow, to be effective. There's a lot of isolation that takes place. There's about 17 congregations total around the state. Just to give you an idea, if you want to compare that, we're talking about a population around the state of about 750,000 people. And I was looking it up about a year ago. Davidson County, so we're not counting all the counties around it. If you start doing that, I mean, it's a huge, huge area. Just Davidson County proper, you have about the same population as the whole state of Alaska, which is kind of hard to get my mind around. You have about upper 600,000 to 700,000 people in Davidson County. In Alaska, you have 17 congregations. In Davidson County, you have 95. I mean, I just want you to imagine if you took away not 80% of the congregations in Davidson County, what kind of impact that would have on a place like Nashville. Not to mention, as you keep going out, Robertson County, Cheatham County, there's a lot of Churches of Christ that are represented. Small ones here, big ones there, things like that. So there's a big uphill challenge for the churches around the state. Many of these churches are smaller, and many of them lack congregational leadership. We have four congregations that have both an elder and both elders and a preacher, but most of them lack any congregational leadership whatsoever. The yellow ones are represented are just the preachers, no elders, and then the red ones, there's no leadership whatsoever. And it's just really hard to grow without congregational leadership, which is the focus of our ministry. And so the guiding passage for what we're trying to do in equipping the churches is Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 12. And we could talk a lot more about Ephesians chapter 4, but I want you to hear these words that Paul says. He gave, this is the ascended Lord, Jesus, the ascended Lord, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That the ascended Lord had a design for his church, had a plan for his church. He had apostles and prophets that we see in the beginning portions of Acts, but then we also see the role of the evangelists like Philip, we like Timothy and Titus, the preacher, the minister, the one preaching the word. We have shepherds, those who are shepherding the flock, these congregations. And you have teachers. And all these roles, he says, are gifts to the church for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. In other words, it's really hard for a congregation to grow and to be involved in ministry and to be equipped without these leaders that Paul says are gifts that God has given to the church. And so that's really the focus of our equipping of the congregations around the state. So let me highlight three needs that we are trying to address and then six goals. I'll go over these quickly, but we'd love to talk more about them afterwards if you have other questions. First of all, Alaska needs intentional connection between churches throughout the state. Again, isolation is really challenging. Isolation of preachers leads to burnout. We get a preacher finally in a remote area, and he and his wife last maybe a year, and they're discouraged, and it's cold, and it's dark, and they don't know, I don't know if I'm up for this. Maybe I go back home. Maybe I go back to Alabama, go back to Tennessee. So we want to create that connection and that unity, and really this unity is something that is inherited for the past few decades. The Churches of Christ started in Alaska around the 1930s, 1940s. During World War II, when military bases started sprouting up around the state, churches began to sprout up around the state as well. So relatively young church, but early on, the leaders, you can read, they were very intentional about, we need to be together. And so for instance, we have the Alaska Statewide Lectureship. That's 55 years and counting. That is an intentional time for all the churches and all the preachers to get together and to be equipped and to fellowship and to connect. The Midnight Sun Bible Camp that I've been a part of for many, many years, working out there, staffing out there, investing in the youth and the young adults around the state. But that's something that is important for the church in Alaska, in a place that's dark and cold and isolated. Secondly, as I've already mentioned, leadership development. It's really important. For many of these congregations, they want a preacher. They just don't know how to find one. And if I find one, I don't know how to support this preacher, because some of them are 15 people, some of them are 5 people, some are up in the 30s. There's only a few that are in, there's probably two or three congregations that are in triple digits. So most of them are smaller and in the middle of nowhere. And so we're trying to connect leadership up there. I'll talk more about that in just a second. And thirdly, and this is a long-term goal, there just needs to be more congregations planted. You know, I've often heard that this region is sometimes, people say it's oversaturated with churches. And maybe that is true. It can lead to a revolving back door where church is more about the consumer experience. And I didn't really like the songs there. And I didn't really like that preacher there. I want to go find the right flavor somewhere else. And that is a byproduct of having a lot of churches in a small area. But many of these churches came about because there was a missional vision for our churches decades in the past. Main Street was planted by Coopertown. And part of that was because these churches were horse and buggy distance away that they could begin to plant a new church. And so we need more congregations in the populous area and also in Native Alaskan villages. And that's something we hope to work towards in the future. So here's six goals, and I'll just go over them quickly for the sake of time. But number one, preaching and teaching and encouraging congregations around the state is very, very important. We believe in the power of the word. We believe in the power of scripture. We believe in the power of God equipping the church through his scripture, through his word. And that's at the forefront of our mind, that we believe, Mike and I, as evangelists, that's part of our role. That just because the location looks a little different, I tell many people we're moving from a Timothy to a Titus role. You know, Timothy's located in Ephesus, Titus is located in Crete. They're both evangelists, both to preach the word, both to equip the congregation, but the regions look a little different. So we're trying to help congregations around the state, help preachers around the state. A lot of that is through preaching and teaching. Summertime is packed with travel. Wintertime is more time at home in the valley and in Wasilla, working with the local congregation there. But preaching and teaching and encouraging is really important for our work. Secondly, again, as I already said, we'll focus on participating and developing more statewide events for connection, for unity. In the summer times, Alaskans are very mobile because they can go up into the interior for hunting, they can go into the peninsula for fishing. And so it's very common for Christians to naturally overlap with one another during the summer. And that's why one of my teammates in AIM, she grew up 10 hours away from me. I want you to imagine just going in any direction from here 10 hours. She was one of my best friends growing up through Midnight Sun Bible Camp. We were on the same AIM team. We knew each other our whole life. That's just part of the nature of Alaska, is that you have small amount of Christians in churches. And so there's an important need for connection around the state. Thirdly, we're going to focus on providing a connection and resources for preachers, something that I've already alluded to. That's been a big blessing being in this region. When I first came up to check out Coopertown, Chet Duke and I, the guy before me, as many of you know, Chet, we were friends at Reed Hardeman. And we connected, and he said, hey, just come meet Ronnie, come meet the church up here, and but meet me in Columbia at the Preacher Workshop. That's where the Preacher Workshop is, and you can see meet the Nashville preachers, and then I'll hitch a ride with you back to Coopertown. He came down with James, actually, and then rode back with me. So that's a really beautiful opportunity for preachers in this area to be encouraged and equipped, to share with one another burdens and ideas and things like that. And so it's, for many of these preachers, especially those in what we call the bush, who are in the middle of nowhere, it's easy to become stranded, to be isolated. But we're not wired to be like that. We're not wired to be one-man people, that we are a body and we are a church. And we want to provide those type of resources and connection points for preachers. So there are preacher retreats and things like that. Getting preachers involved in statewide events is really important to us for the sake of unity and connection. Fourthly, we'll focus on leadership development of both individuals and congregations. So one thing that I'm doing right now is I'm in a doctorate of ministry program with Harding School of Theology based in Memphis, and the emphasis of that program is on missional leadership, equipping leaders, whether it be just leaders in general or congregational leaders like elders and preachers, for mission. understanding that the church, that the church does not have a mission. The mission of God has a church. What do I mean by that? Sometimes it's easy for us to think of mission as just a part of what we do. It's a budget line on what we decide to give towards every year. But Scripture describes the church as being a vehicle or being an instrument that God uses to accomplish His will in the world, to make disciples of all nations, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28. God wills to be known, and He wills to be known through His Son Jesus, and He uses the body of His Son Jesus to accomplish this mission. And so equipping leaders to think like this, who are you and what is God doing with you in this time and this place? In the same way that Pleasant View is here and Pleasant View for a reason, this congregation is here for a reason, Coopertown's there for a reason, God can use us uniquely in our context, helping leaders up there understand we're not just in maintenance mode, right? We're on mission as a congregation. And helping leaders to think like that is very important to us and individuals as well. Young adults and youth are really important to us. There is a man, his name is Lauren Hollingsworth, who has been a missionary in Thailand for, he's been there longer than he's been here. He's probably in his 80s now, and he's there right now. And he teaches at a school in Bangkok, and he's been doing mission work in Thailand for many, many years. He says he's more Thai than he is American. But half the year he spends at the Valley Church of Christ in Wasilla. And Mike was speaking to him one day, and he says, Lauren, if you could do it all over again, what would you do differently? And without missing a beat, Lauren said, oh, I'd spend more time with the youth. And so Mike's thinking about all these things he could have said, right? I would have studied Greek more. Or I would have done this, or I would have done that. He said, I would have spent more time with the youth, because before you know it, they're there, and they are grown, and they are functioning adults within your congregation. And if we're not equipping them as being part of this church from an early age, then we really miss something. And so we have things like Midnight Sun Bible Camp and youth retreats and all sorts of things to connect and develop youth to be functioning adults within their local context. And what a blessing that has been wherever they, because they're all spread out around the state. And that can have major impact on churches across Alaska. And lastly, again, as I already said, these AIMers, the Adventures and Missions Program, mentoring them. Mike and I will co-coordinate these teams as they come. A lot of that is development and mentoring them as individuals because they are young. I shudder when I think about all the dumb things I said and did in the AIM program in South Africa. And I'm sure in 10 years from now, I'll think about all the dumb things I said and did in Coopertown. That's how life goes. But mentorship is a very important part of that process and developing them as men and women of God, but also equipping them to go around the state. We send them, a lot of times we go together and do work with congregations for periods of time. Sometimes we just send them, y'all go do a VBS in Nikiski for a few days, or you're going to be on the island of Kodiak for a couple weeks working with the church, things like that. And so that's a really important part of our ministry. But at the end of the day, it's just all about the people. As you know, the church is not a building, it's the people, right? The church is the body of Christ. The church is the family and the household of God. That's what it's all about. And so in many ways, the work is not very different up there than it is here. The church is the church. A church is a light, a family, a body. Whether it's in Middle Tennessee, whether it's in Asia, in China somewhere, whether it's in Alaska, we are Christ's church, His hands and feet, His body here at this time and in this place. And there's unique challenges that Alaska poses for the church up there, and we want to help equip the congregations and specifically those without leaderships to develop leaderships for the sake of ministry and growth and mission. And so I will leave this up here. How can you participate? We are continuing to raise financial support. We have, thankfully, all of the funds we need for our initial one-time relocation, and that's been a big blessing. We're about 55-60% of the way to our monthly needs. And so if the congregation here, or if you as an individual and your family want to partner with us, feel free to reach out to me, and I'll put my information up here. You can go to our website, or you can email me, or you can send a carrier pigeon, you know, whatever you want to do. If you want to be involved with us in that way, we would love to. But remember, this is not a, it's not a handout. This is a partnership. This is what the way Paul thinks about the church in Philippi. He says, you are partners with me in the gospel. You share in this fruit. And so we want partners. We want those who are praying for us, those who are invested in the work. And the fact is, everybody wants to come to Alaska, and now you don't need an excuse, right? You don't need a cruise. You can come and get to work, and you can see the mountains on the side. But we are just so excited about what's to come, and I'll turn it over to Tim here for an invitation, but just be praying for us. And just remember that the church is so much bigger than just this place, than just Middle Tennessee. The church all over the world. That's one of the things I love about coming around the table on Sunday morning. Just thinking about all the people who are communing together, who are taking the bread and the cup together. And the church is not Plan B. The church is not God's cleanup for a problem gone wrong. But the church is part of his manifold wisdom. It's part of his design. And he's designed it in a specific way for the sake of his mission and for the sake of bearing fruit. And so we ask that you continue to pray for us. I'll hand it over to you. Thank you.